702. Masterclass.
Masterclass time. Amy, welcome to 702 Afternoons.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
And I almost feel like this is a refresher course for me, because usually when I visit my energy world is when something is happening in my life. So it would be moving into a new home, and I'll go and consult, and, you know, I do cleanses, and I do multiple. I'll do imbebo, I'll do sage, which is similar, plus salts and all of these things. But I absolutely love these conversations. And I had an ex-neighbor who used to keep a million rose quartz at the front door. So throughout the conversation, we'll chat about what all of that can mean. But chat to us about how you got into the work that you are doing. What attracted you to this?
It was kind of just something that happened. In 2016, I experienced a personal trauma in my life, and that's often a catalyst for many healers to get onto this path. And I did a yoga teacher training course, which opened my body up, opened me up to this whole world of mysticism. And then just one thing led to another, and I found a Reiki course, I found crystal healing. And actually, my whole life looking back, I've always been interested in things esoteric, things that are just not necessarily mainstream, crystals, incense, burning incense, ancient practices and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of ignited that old flame that I had as a teenager growing up. And yeah, I think once you step on the path, there's always something new around the corner. There's no going back, you know.
It's almost like the red pill, blue pill moment. Once you can see the truth, you can't unsee it.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's always more. It's limitless. So there's always more to learn. There's always more to know. And it's always a gift. It's always a surprise to learn more and know more. Yeah.
Are you also into cards?
I am. Mm-hmm. I am. I don't use them as much as I used to. But yeah, there is a great tool for reading the subconscious and getting some answers.
Where did your cards find you?
My cards found me at when I did my Reiki healing course. I was doing my Reiki masters, and my teacher also taught tarot reading.
Yes.
And at the bottom of the shelf there was like a dusty pack, and it just kind of called my name, and I looked at it and I fell in love. And it's a kind of a relationship that you build, because it's a tool to communicate. And so that's when my cards found me. That was in around 2018, I think. Yeah.
Sorry, the studio got really, really bright right now, but that's because you've got crystals with you, and we're going to take images so we can post on the socials.
Ooh.
Now, before we even get the questions around, is this voodoo? Is it evil? Is it anti-Christian? Maybe clarify what it is about and why it is not in contradiction, or maybe it is for some believers, with what people believe in. Because I know many Christians who use crystals, who have cards and all of those things, that they sort of work in tandem. But I know that there are those who will say anything that's not in reference to the Bible or the Quran is whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's a good point to make, because I think it comes down to you, the person who is working with the esoteric tools. They're all divination tools, and they're all going to connect you to divine divinity, divine presence, and whatever people call God, source. I think if you can take religion out of it, and look at the ancient practices and look where it comes from. And then also look at your intentions, because it's also got to do with the person that's dealing with whatever it is that's you using, whether it's a crystal or a card reading. What are your intentions behind it, and where do you want to go with it? There's light and dark to everything, so it can go either way. It's just depending on your intentions and who you attract as a practitioner.
And I mean, the use of all types of healing energies and practices, including crystals, actually predate, Christianity as we know it today.
Yes.
But again, not to be in contradiction with what anybody believes in, I just like to set the tone at the beginning before we get those questions. So let's talk about what are the very first things we understand about, you know, crystals and what power they possess, because sometimes we use the word energy very loosely. I can sit here and say, oh my gosh, our guest came in with such open energy, but we can also say, oh, she came in with such bad energy, but maybe you nearly got bumped at the robot, you know what I mean? So true. What is your view on, or what would you say you learned energy is, and then how does that apply to what crystals can do?
Mm-hmm. So that's a very complex and
yes,
a wonderful, wonderful question, because it's so deep and broad. Everything for me is energy. Mm. Everything. So even like looking at this bottle, it's condensed energy. Mm. So it's still energy particles that have just been condensed so that you can hold it.
Yes.
And everything has frequency and waves and different kinds of technology in it. And when it comes to crystals, they're from the earth. They are also made up of energetic particles that are just placed together in certain ways that create different colors and textures and densities, and they hold different frequencies.
Mm.
And then they will match with other frequencies that they're attracted to in order to heal whatever needs to heal. So it's all about resonance and energy in my mind, yeah.
And I think it is great that you have really explained, because we are energy. Now the question then I would say is, how does one discern what is not good energy? I think for me personally, I will feel something is off. That's how I measure. So the things that are allowed in my home, and, you know, being on radio, for example, I get sent things all the time. And if something ever told me, don't take this home, I would end up giving it away. If the energy in it or the intention it came with is not positive. I'm very fortunate that the people that send me things have amazing energy. We eat people's food. When somebody's washing your hair at the salon, even that is very, the energy. I love Thai massages. Mm. But how does a person who, I don't want to say you're not in touch. I want to say you're not very alert or aware. How do they know what is bad energy, so that the day they do decide to say, I'd love to explore this energy healing or crystals, what will they know is good for them and not good for them if they're not yet in tune with themselves?
It's a good question, because the very answer lies in the problem, and vice versa, because you would need to then get in touch with your intuition so that you could attract the correct practitioner. Because I think in the beginning stages of your journey, you might meet a couple of practitioners that are not necessarily resonating with you. And the only way to know that is to go through that and learn it, and then open yourself up to more options and other practitioners and other modalities that you would resonate with and that would actually benefit you more on the journey. I think the key there is to go into your gut. Mm. That's where your intuition sits. And to work on clearing the toxins in your body, that really opens up your intuition. And to really then look into your gut when you're researching online, who do I go to? I want to do this. This interests me. Who is the best practitioner? And then also be open to divine guidance, because if you ask the universe what is going to be best for me, and then you listen for the answer, you will receive it.
I'm having a chuckle because I remembered the saying that somebody said, if the sage I'm burning in my house and the salt I've thrown, you know, make you not want to come, then it's working.
You know,
it's doing its job, because, you know. So let's then pick up on that. What would be the reason that people would look to crystals? Because if I look at someone like yourself who has these things as tools, I would already think, wow, you're quite a woke, open person. To me, I feel your energy is very yellow and bright for me, and positive. And I would think, why would you even need help? Because you naturally are there. So why I mean, even though you have explained that you experienced the trauma and this sort of put you on this path, but is there not a sense that there are individuals that don't need these things? So why would people need these things?
Mm, good question. I haven't always been bright and open and light. And that's because I think I've been on this path and I've gone through the work. I've done the work. And sometimes you just need a bit of a push. You would just need a bit of a helping hand from something that's not the mind and something that's not necessarily coming from somebody else's opinion.
Mm.
When you take a crystal into your hand, you connect with a technology and an energy that is beyond human. It's beyond reason. It's beyond sometimes understanding. And that sometimes that crystal can just resonate with whatever's needing to shift in your body and your energy field, and it's you can't explain it. And it'll clear something for you that you felt was there, you couldn't put words to, you couldn't explain, but you knew it was heavy, you knew it was yucky, you knew it was gross and it needed to go. And that's what crystal and energy healing can do for you.
What are the most common things that people come to you for when they're looking for crystal healing? Is it often trauma related, or is it sometimes a person is like, let me not wait for bad things to happen. I want to set a solid foundation so that when bad things do happen, I'm covered.
So, sure, you've covered a lot of points, because a lot of clients do come when bad things happen.
Mm.
Often the clients that come are in turmoil and they're in crisis, and that's a great way to clear stuff, but actually what I tell most of my clients is, you know, it's great that we've cleared stuff and you feel better, but don't come for it to be just a cure for a cause. Come and let it be a preventative thing. So schedule in. I do my own. I spend like maybe 40 hours a month in my own on my own healing. I have teachers and practitioners and people that I go and see to keep my vibration high and keep my energy field high, and that's a preventative measure for me. And I strongly recommend people who are interested in this kind of thing is to use it as a preventative measure, not only a crisis management thing. Yeah.
So if I want to use a scenario that maybe everybody can relate to.
Sure.
So I know somebody who they moved into the house of somebody who was going through a terrible time in their lives. And not only did like businesses fail, there also was a divorce, and they moved out. When they moved into that home with their family, the marriage started having problems. And a thought was there of like, maybe we need to do something, right? Is it possible that when you move into the house of other people who had lived there, maybe somebody was murdered there, there was divorce or other things, can that energy linger? And is it something that crystals can solve?
Yes. So yes, the energy can most definitely linger. There can be thought forms, there can be like patterns that stay behind, energetic imprints that kind of get left behind. Also, the house itself can hold energetic imprints of what happened in the house. So yes, you can use energy medicine and crystals to clear that energy, communicate with the house, communicate with what has happened, and clear it. Yeah, most definitely.
Is that why, you know, some people are very interested to know about, why are you guys leaving? I mean, I just naturally would always ask the question, why are you leaving and what's happened in this house? And when I do any kind of cleansing, I pray, I cleanse, and I invite positive whatever, and then I trust that it will all take care of itself. What are you finding? Because if somebody says nothing's happened, and really nothing's happened, or even let's say it's a new development, nobody's lived there before, what are the signs a person can look out for to be like, there's something not okay with this house?
Mm. Sure, it's interesting because it could be many, many, many things. I mean,
like you suddenly know, the developers, going broke.
Yeah, I mean, the developers could have dug up graves.
Oh,
you know, like
that scares me.
You never know,
right?
There's properties in Johannesburg where developers built on an old monastery, and they've had problems, you know, in their businesses and in that where that whole monastery was. So there's things that, you know, you need to communicate with the land. You need to communicate. There's things that a lot of people will go years living through without even knowing.
Mm.
So yeah, there's a lot to be said in that, and I think it's definitely scenario specific because anything can have happened, and you wouldn't know unless you investigate. So yeah, what you're saying is completely possible, and it happens. Yeah, I've seen it.
So if a person comes to you, and I know you also have a background of numerology, but outside of that, if a person were to come to you saying, things in my life are just not going well, it feels like everything is going wrong, so they don't even know where to start. It's finances, it's relationship, it's French, it's everything just feels like it's going wrong. Where do you usually begin? Do you start with clearings, or what do you start with if a person can't specifically pinpoint? They don't know the history of where they're living. They don't know the darkness that other people in their lives might be carrying, but they're just like, it, you know, in our, as Black people, people say, like they've put a spell on you basically, right? But where does one begin if you're like, everything in my life is just going wrong and I'm coming to you, please help me because I can't figure out what's, I'm doing all the right things.
So that is when I would take out my cards, because that would be beyond that person's conscious awareness. And I could ask a million questions and this person would not be able to figure it out. And what the cards do is then tap into, if I was reading your cards, it would tap into your subconscious and then give me an indication of where it's at, where you're at. The thing is, you know, if everything is going wrong, you might not be ready to hear what it is.
Because sometimes it's you.
It's always you. Yeah,
sometimes you're the problem. You're attracting
these. It's always you.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
That's the fundamental bottom line, is it's always you and what you've let in. So you can't always necessarily deal with the whole problem in one go. So often what happens is it goes, okay, you break it up into segments. Okay, that's going wrong because of that. But you may not be ready to hear the next three phases of how to become, you know, how to rectify things. But you can start here. And it's, you know what, often it's about your choices. Often you're making choices that are making you disappointed in yourself. And then you're allowing energies to infiltrate because your boundaries have come down.
I was listening to Iyanla Van Zandt, and multiple people shared the video with me, and I shared it with so many people. But she was saying, many of us as people, we complain about these external forces where things in our lives are going wrong without recognizing and taking accountability for the fact that the things that happen in our worlds are things we attract. Now, that can sound very harsh if someone's like, but I've been unemployed for 2 years. How am I attracting unemployment? But I think at the core of what she was saying is, it's not necessarily that you're attracting unemployment, but maybe there's other things happening in your life that you are allowing. There are other ways you have to ask yourself, what energy or what level am I vibrating at that I'm attracting things that vibrate at a low energy? Because if you're vibrating at a high energy, you're going to vibrate high things. So before, you know, when we come back from news, we'll go into a breakdown of the different crystals and the colors and what they mean and what they represent. What can you share just that's empowering about what happens in our lives? Because I think we do forget that we're a lot more in control than what we think we are. It might not feel that way because we're waiting for phone calls, you're sending the job application, you think you're doing the right things, but it's still not working out.
So on that, I would say, you know, bad things happen. Bad things happen to good people. And often what holds us back is the lack of processing that bad thing and the lack of letting it go so that you can move on. Often I see people come with problem. The biggest problem is unprocessed grief. and the fact that they are blind to it and they don't want to go there. They don't want to feel that pain and process the pain in order to release it. The only way to do that is to take radical responsibility. So, no, you can't take responsibility if someone fired you or if someone did something horrible to you to land you in a situation where you are not well or uncomfortable and, you know, things are not going well. But what you can do is take responsibility for what happened, where you're at, accept it, process the grief so that you can move on.
I've never heard of radical responsibility. I've heard of radical acceptance. I'm going to ask you a bit more about that when we come back from the news. Ronald from Silverton, I also see you on the line with a question. When we do come back, we continue this masterclass on crystal healing. We'll delve into the different colors, the crystals, what they represent, and it might give you a bit more of an understanding of the people around you and what they are using and what is resonating for them. And hopefully you can find some answers for your own life in this conversation. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. When we come back, we continue with this masterclass.
702 Masterclass.
And our masterclass for today, we are talking crystal healing. We're with Amy Ann Atkinson, energy healing therapist and practitioner. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So before we jump into the next part of our conversation, Ronald from Silverton, you've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hello, thanks a lot. Amy, I want to find out, I'm a blind person, so would I be at a disadvantage not knowing which colors of rocks, you know, crystals were which and what the colors represented? Would I be at a disadvantage?
Wow, I think that's such a great question, Ronald. Are you interested in crystals?
I've got some here. I've got some here, but as I say, I don't know what the colors are anymore because since lost the little vision that I had, and I don't want to be at a disadvantage.
Thank you so much, Ronald. And I would imagine, Amy, that in somebody in Ronald's position, maybe the shapes should help in terms of which crystals are which and where they're being used.
That can definitely help because at least he has seen them before, so he would have kind of a reference of the shapes and which ones they are. But you know, when you lose one of your senses, other senses become heightened normally, and as well as your intuition. So if you were drawn to specific crystals, there would be a reason. Some crystals will just remain dormant and invisible to you if you do not need them. And then you tend to attract the crystals that you need. So you won't be at any kind of disadvantage if you can't see the colors because it works on an energy and frequency level. So, yeah, you're all good.
So let's jump in then into the different crystals and what they represent.
Okay, so there are so many crystals and they all represent something quite unique. When I'm working with crystals, if I'm not called to a specific crystal for a specific reason, then I work with the colors relating to the chakra system. And those are the colors of the rainbow.
So maybe you can help us understand that principle because it will help us understand the crystal. Mm. So, for example, I've once been told that I need to have more yellow around me. So since then, I always keep a full bowl of lemons for my solar plexus. Ah, oh, there we go. So I always have lemons in the house. When guests come, they're allowed to take lemons. It's for the more yellow. But help us understand what that means in terms of the chakras and how that all sort of links together.
Okay, so in your case, yellow is the solar plexus chakra. And that would be it's your powerhouse. It's your inner warrior. And it's the masculine part of you that is an action taker, the fixer, the doer, the powerhouse. And it's also got a lot to do on a physical level with your digestion and how you digest life as well as food. How you process things. It's also connected to all the digestive organs. So your colon, your stomach, your spleen, your liver, your gallbladder, your kidneys, all of those organs in your trunk. So you would be really well off if you brought some yellow crystals into your into your space as well. So anything yellow to vibrate that energy, that color into the space and into your physical body.
What are the other main chakras that everybody can kind of be aware of that you would reference when it comes to what you'd advise a person taking crystals of?
Okay. So you've got your first chakra, which is your root chakra or your base chakra, and that sits in the base of your spine at the coccyx and the perineum, and that color is red. And that's all about safety, your life, how you see yourself in the world, how you where you are in the world, your home, your family, your base, your foundation. Okay. Then you've got your second chakra, which is your sacral chakra, and that's orange. And that's in the womb space below the belly button and the lower back. That's also related to your sexual organ, your reproductive organs. And that is all about your own creativity in life and what you are manifesting, what you are creating, how you put yourself out in the world. And yeah, so anything orange to heal this chakra. Then you've got your third chakra, which is the yellow, the solar plexus chakra. And like I said, that's got to do with your, that's your powerhouse. Then you move up into the heart chakra. That's your fourth one. That is at the center of the chest. And that's green. And that's got to do with compassion and unconditional love. So it's not a sexual kind of love. It's a compassionate love. It's a love that you would have for an animal, your children, your family members, nature. And what we should have for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you move up into the throat. That's the throat chakra. And that is a light blue. And that's all about your voice. But it's also not only about speaking. It's also got to do, it's also incorporates your ears. And it's also about being heard and hearing others and how you process hearing and being heard. And your expression in the world.
So things like speaking up for yourself or
exactly.
being more assertive and things like that.
Okay. Yes. And also hearing people when they do that and really listening to people when they speak as well. And then you move up into your third eye, which is between your eyebrows. And that's kind of an indigo or a purple color. And that is all about your vision, the higher perspective. So your vision for the future, what you would envision when you're setting your goals, what you would envision for yourself, how you would, you know, how you would like to be in the world, what you're aiming for, that kind of thing. And then we move up into the crown, and that is above the top of the head, and that's white. And that is your connection to source. That's your connection to God. That is the first chakra that will open when you go into a deep meditation practice. And that just clears the energy, the highway communication between you and God.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, the reason that the root chakra is not your feet is because you would ideally be in seated position when you are.
True.
Okay.
Yes, this is very good.
So for clarity, okay.
Although the root chakra does extend down the legs through the feet, but that's the energy center because it's in the spine. The energies are all in the spinal cord. So the energy center is at the base of the spine, but it does go down the legs. And you'll find when you exercise and you go for a jog is when you feel most grounded because you've worked that. You've worked that the energy it down into your legs.
Okay, so now to come to the crystals, I think many people know, for example, a rose quartz. Let's start with some of the more common ones and what they actually mean. Because I think sometimes you can even buy crystal lamps now. People buy them because they look pretty, not aware of what they actually represent.
So the rose quartz itself is actually also connected to the heart. So the heart space actually works with two colors, green and pink. And that's to expand your compassion for yourself, for the world. And it also is very high vibrational stone. And it'll lift the vibration in the space. The more you have, the more it lifts. It's good to pair rose quartz with a rooting stone so that you don't float, like get too floaty.
Yes.
So it's good. And black is really, really good. A black stone is really, really good to keep you grounded. So it works. There's two more chakras that I feel like I need to mention. that are unseen. One is your earth star chakra, which is just below your feet. And that's what keeps you really grounded. And that's black. You use black stones to draw that energy down. And then you've got your soul star chakra, which is above the crown, a few inches above the crown. And that is like where your soul communicates at its highest. So we won't focus on that one. The one I want to really point out is the root, the root earth star chakra, because a lot of us are kind of out of our bodies. So to use black is really helpful to root you back down into your body.
So what is the name then of the red that you would use for your root chakra?
So my favorite is red jasper. You can also look for earthy colored stones like tiger's eye. That'll really help with the root chakra. And then tourmaline, black tourmaline, any kind of dark earthy stone. But red jasper is my go-to for the root chakra.
We've got some questions coming in on the WhatsApp line, 0727021702, through your voice notes. Keep them coming through.
Hi, guys. Just want to ask her, at what point in a session do you realize that this person might need a psychologist? And do you ever refer someone? Where do you draw the line? Thanks.
I love that question.
Me too. Yeah, it's a good question.
So does it happen sometimes when you're like, I can't help you here, you need to talk to someone?
Yes, absolutely. So it's difficult to say at which point that would be, because each person is different and each scenario is different. Each person's path is different. So I am not a psychologist. I would definitely, if I'm in a situation where I feel somebody, that I can't help somebody and they need that kind of help, then I definitely do refer them. Yeah. It's just difficult to answer the part of the question about when I would consider that, because it's different. You know, I think if somebody wants to harm themselves or...
It's talking about harming others.
It's talking about harming others. And it's also, the psychological level is just not spiritual. Then that would be definitely a referral case.
And I'm glad that question was asked, because I was going to say, you know, the healing journey is, depending on everybody's circumstance, can vary. Sometimes a person goes through a phase where they do need the talk therapy.
Absolutely.
And others something else. Do you find that when people come to you that you are their lost hope, where, you know, let's say non-believers, in inverted commas, come to you feeling like, oh my gosh, I've tried everything. I've been praying. I went to therapy. Nothing's going right. Or do you find that people use you as a tool in tandem with the other tools available to them?
So that's a yes for both, because I myself was there where I had tried everything and there was just something that was not clicking. And I was missing this element of God, this element of source in my life, this element of divinity. I was missing that. So I can completely resonate with somebody who has, you know, tried everything. They've tried psychologists, they've tried medication, they've tried everything, and there's just something that's not quite right. However, I do recommend that this is a complementary practice. You know, this cannot be everything that you do to fix your problems, because it's not going to fix your problems. You know, this needs to be something that you accompany other practices with, definitely.
And you can't have, for example, a gambling habit and then want some crystals to solve.
Exactly.
That.
Then you're completely delusional.
Yes, you can't be like, I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
Please give me the crystals to solve this issue of not being able to say no, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
There's another voice note that's come through.
Hi there. I have a question about crystals. I'm a Christian. But back in the day, in my youth, I used to carry a rose quartz crystal with me. And it really, well, I saw quite a difference in my life. But at the same time, as a Christian, I am more devout to my faith now than ever before. I always was. But now my question to you is that, does it, you know, it's not meant to harm and everything like that, but I'm a bit, but there was a huge change or difference in my life when I still had the rose quartz back in the day. This is Anonymous.
Thank you so much, Anonymous, for that question. And the reason I'm kind of giggling to myself, and I don't know, Amy, if you find that this is the case. Sometimes I think we sabotage ourselves by overthinking. So if things are working, we don't have to think about, but it's in contradiction with all. Because to me, I was smiling like, oh, great, it's working for you. But then he's like, but I'm thinking, should it be, you know, and my faith is better. So what would you respond to that? Because my thing's like, don't fix what's not broken. It's clearly working for you.
Yeah. And rose quartz is not anti-Christianity. It's from the earth. And it was given to us as a gift by God. God created it. And the resonance of a rose quartz is so beautiful. It uplifts you. It uplifts your vibration. It's going to help you to attract more positive things into your life. If your intention to carry it is pure, then the energy will be pure. So I don't believe that you should carry any guilt around that. Jesus is not going to condemn you for carrying a rose quartz.
I don't mean to laugh, but it just sounded funny coming out of your mouth. Because really, we need to be gentle with ourselves.
Yeah.
And I find that the journey of life is exploring new things. We're all scholars. There are new things that are going to come about. And if they can make your life better and make you feel better about yourself and it's not hurting anyone, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So to continue then on the different stones, which are the other stones that are quite significant and quite, I don't want to say generic, but the kind that you find yourself, in inverted commas, prescribing to many of the people that come to you?
Okay, so a firm favorite of mine is rose quartz because it's so uplifting, as well as clear quartz. So actually all the quartz are good. They really uplift any space, any mood. I love... Jeez, like all my crystals. I can't like really pinpoint any. But for ladies, when you need some extra help during that time of the month, a moonstone is wonderful. Mm. It helps to alleviate pains and just lifts your mood.
Mm.
There's angelite that connects you to the angelic realm. That's beautiful to communicate with angels because they're always around us. They're just waiting for us to ask for their help.
Mm.
I love malachite for the heart chakra. Mm. And if you can get a malachite that is not polished, for me that just feels better. It feels like it's more grounding. And selenite. Selenite is also great. So I've got a selenite candle holder.
Oh.
And that really uplifts the space when you light the candle, and it just raises the vibration, lifts any residue.
One message is saying, moonstone, you mean emotional management in the household. Tell me more.
So yeah, that can definitely help with one of those problems. So moonstones, also they come in different colors and different sort of frequencies. But yeah, definitely promote emotional balance and reduces anxiety and tension. Mm. So yeah, if you want to put it into your home and help if there's a lot of tension in your family, sibling rivalry, also helps with a lot of when you're feeling down. I don't want to say depression because that's quite a big word. But yeah, when you're just feeling low, feeling like your batteries are flat, moonstone really uplifts you.
So when a person is exploring, because also there are crystal shops many that are available. I know there's one in Craig Hall, if it's still there. I haven't been in a long time. There's one in Rosebank where you can buy crystals along with incense and many other things. If a person steps into that space and they want to sort of explore, what would you say to them should be their guiding thing when they walk in? Because it's also easy to be like, oh my gosh, I want everything for everything. Every crystal everywhere.
Yeah, and it can be really overwhelming. You can also end up walking out with nothing because it's just like so much. So I would say have an intention. And if you don't know what your intention is, then just have the intention to be open to guidance. And the right crystal will call you and jump out at you. Just be open up your sensitivities, open up your intuition, and be available for the right crystal or crystals to speak to you.
Well, thank you so much just for sharing this conversation. And I think the healing properties can extend to physical ailments, emotional imbalances, spiritual growth. And if you would like to go on a journey and contact someone like Amy, how can people get in touch with you? Are you in social media? Do you have an email address?
Okay, I do have an email address. It's info@AmyAnne, and it's AmyAnne.co.za. I am on social media. I'm not very active, but I do have profiles, so you can get me on there. And I have a website, which is www.amyanne.co.za.
Thank you so much for coming through for this conversation.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
I feel like we will be in touch. A message that says, I would really love to come for a consult. This is such a good one. Thank you so much. Message coming through from Tamedzi and others. Another person saying, other beliefs are restrictive because of delusions. Look, we're not going to get into that,
that's a whole
thank you
topic.
so much for all of your messages, and to all of you also just reiterating the different things that have helped you. Thank you for engagements.